Welcome, welcome, welcome to the School Rocks podcast with Mr. Let's Get Social. On this episode, we're going to talk about what America was doing on the home front during World War II. We're going to talk about rationing, what Americans had to do on the home front to sacrifice, and talk about opportunity costs within that. We're going to talk also about women and the change of role of women in regards to Rosie the Riveter, and also how African-Americans changed their roles during the war here on the home front, and how we also helped win the war. So the first thing that I want to talk about, today is like how Americans sacrifice for troops. And Americans during World War II were asked to make sacrifices, and people were asked to conserve materials so resources and factories could be used to make products needed for the war effort. So people had to accept rationing. And what rationing was is that it restricted how much people can buy or receive of something like coffee, meat, butter, shoes, just the basic necessities of life. And so Americans were given ration books, and they had to use these ration books to get the basic necessities to live. And so this required many sacrifices. They had to do more with less. It could be so frustrating to figure out the point system that went with the ration books. And some people sold hard to get items to neighbors at high prices in order to make money to get the things that they needed. These times were hard, yeah, but it was show that America pulled together and worked toward this goal to win the war and bring American troops home. And so a fascinating fact is that rubber was an important commodity rationed in the United States. One tire manufacturer asked consumers to drive less to conserve tires so rubber could be used for military vehicles and tires instead. Their advertising slogan was, "Hitler smiles when you waste miles." Very interesting, right? So with the idea of rationing comes this idea of opportunity cost. So we're going to like kind of delve into our economics standards here. And it's important that we talk about this because when we talk about opportunity costs, you have to think, you know, what is the cost of me choosing this over this? Okay. So most Americans supported rationing in an effort to keep prices stable since the war effort had made many items somewhat scarce. By controlling the demand for things like meat, gas, and sugar, prices wouldn't skyrocket, but rationing had serious opportunity costs. For consumers or people that were buying things, most Americans, people had to decide what they were willing to give up. If a household only received a small amount of sugar, they had to decide how to use it and how not to use it. Plus, standing in ration lines or searching through shops cost time they could have used for something else. Okay, that's for the consumer, the buyer. For producers, factories shifted production from consumer goods to military goods. Since resources are scarce, they had to choose. More military goods produced equals less consumer goods produced. So if producers were going to make more items and resources for the military, that meant that they decided that they couldn't make as many things for the regular American consumer. And so we've talked about the consumer, what it would be like for consumers and their opportunity costs, and also for the producers. What about for the economy? So when people can spend as much money as they want on goods and services, the economy is stronger. Limits cause some parts of the economy to suffer, right? So opportunity cost goes hand in hand with the rationing that was going on the home front during World War II. We're still talking about World War II and the American home front, what things were happening here. All right. So another thing that happened is like I said before, women flex their muscles. Women are now working in jobs that had usually belonged to men. They're working in places like farms, aircraft manufacturing facilities, and shipyards. Women also worked in office jobs. And at the end of the war, 1/3 of the people working in the U.S. business and industry were women. That was a big change. So one iconic figure is Rosie the Riveter. She was a fictional character appearing on government posters, encouraging women to help in the war effort. A riveter is a person who inserts and hammers rivets, which are metal devices used to fasten parts together. Rosie symbolized the many women working in factory jobs. So because of this image, women also joined the military in huge numbers. Some became pilots and flew bombers from the United States to bases in Europe, and others became mechanics, truck drivers, and office workers. So this was a major change. Well, so here's our final part is that not only were women changing roles, but African-Americans did as well. And so in both the North and South, African-Americans began to get good jobs in places like steel mills and shipyards. There was a group of black men that made a name for themselves in World War II. You've probably heard of them. The name that they are named, are called by, are the Tuskegee Airmen. They're a group of African-American pilots trained at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. They were segregated from white troops, and they also had to go through difficult training. They became a well-respected elite unit, or selected as the best, and these highly trained pilots flew alongside bombers traveling to Europe to protect them. The Tuskegee Airmen saw lots of action in Italy, Czechoslovakia, and Hungary, and some of the pilots also flew combat flights. It's important to know that Tuskegee Airmen made history. There have been movies made about these men, and they made a great effort and contribution to us winning World War II. So salute to both women and the Tuskegee Airmen.